Amen. Glory to God. You may have your seat. God bless you, everyone. Thank God for our live stream, our connected community. Let's give our connected community a hand. Amen. Let's give our guests a hand. Amen. All our guests. Just good to have everyone here. Amen. Do one more. Give yourself a hand. Amen. It's good to be here. Man, thank God for the worship team. Amen. You know, it's about the presence. I'm a presence of God person. You can sing the latest hit and have 10 instruments. But if you don't have no presence on it, they don't do anything. But you can sing a simple song with Jesus. We give you the praise. And have the presence of God on it. It'll change lives as people worship. It'll break discouragement simply as, amen, the presence of God can do more than in a second than an entire message. An encounter with God changes everything. I'm about the presence of God. Amen. And when the presence lifts, it's time to sing something else. Well, the presence ain't on anymore. Time to shift. But thank God for the worship team today. Amen. The musicians and everyone. We have been on a growth series since August, and we have worked and laid a foundation. We've talked about the seed of the word, the power of the word growing in our life. We talked about the principles of the word, inerrancy, infallibility, and authoritative. We have talked about how we're saved by the seed of the word, and it grows, and we'll read that scripture in a minute. We've talked about Jesus was the Word in flesh, the living Word. Everything he did was from the Father. He was the Word of God, the thoughts of God personified. He was the walking Word, the talking Word. Everything he did, he demonstrated the Word and the will of God. We've gone through that. We've talked a little bit about faith and how faith is inspired by the Word, and we'll move into faith, but we have laid a foundation over these last few months. And now we are about to break ground and build this structure now. So you're about to matriculate from the foundation. Today is going to be a little bit heavier. Are you ready? You know, put 10 pounds, 20 pounds on each side of the bar. It's getting a little heavier. Tell somebody it's going to get a little heavier. But you've built up your strength. And you're ready for something a little heavier. You won't grow if you lift the same weight. Amen. You're lifting it 10, 15, 20 times. Amen. It's getting too light. It's time to add some weight. Amen. So now we're going to go and start building the structure. And I know I won't get through this message today. So we'll do part one today and part two next Sunday. Amen. Amen. So unless you give me about 2 hours, then I might be at a get through it. I know the people of God love the word. They say, Pastor, take 3 hours if you want. 2 hours is... I grew up in the church. We start at noon. We get out by 3:34. By the time you have testimony service. And testimony service was many messages. By the time you get through, I thank the Lord for another day, and I thank him for saving me, sanctifying me, filling me with the Holy Ghost, and that with a mighty burning fire. And then they tell the story. That was just the intro. Amen. Then you get the next person to get up and testify, and they throw off on the one that just got done testifying. I know, we don't do that. We modernize now. We've had some scriptures that have been our, what I would call our meditative scriptures, what we've been meditating on in this series. three of which we're going to, we believe you've got these in your spirit. We're going to retire them after today's, but I want to go through them, and then we're going to pick up a new scripture that I want you to begin to meditate on, because as we meditate the word, repeat the word. Meditate means to mutter it, to say it inwardly, say it out loud over and over again. We become that word, amen, and then we can do that word. You can't do something until you become it. Amen. You can't, amen, be a doctor until you go through medical school and become a doctor. Then you can do medicine. You can't be a police officer unless you go through academy and then you become it. Then you can do it. Meditating the scripture allows us to become it so that we can do it, because the word takes on flesh. So 1 Peter 1:23. Is in the TPT translation. There's a scripture we've been reading, and it says, "For through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again. And this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but it will live and grow and grow." Somebody say grow inside of you forever. Amen. That's been a scripture we've read. There's another scripture we've been reading is Philippians 4 and 13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens, fortifies, sustains, energizes," I'm adding all those, amen, "equips and empowers you." Somebody say, "I can do all things through Christ." Amen. So any situation you're in and anything you face, you've already, amen, you've been strengthened. You can, amen, it may seem unbearable, but you can bear it. You can do all things. Amen. And then Mark 9 and 23 in the Message Bible, we've been reading, Jesus said, "If there are no ifs among believers," don't be talking about no ifs, "there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen." So those are the three scriptures we've been reading for the last several weeks, and we're going to retire those who got those in your spirit. Here is the new scripture in Proverbs 24, 3 and 4 in the TPT translation. And amen, if we have that, we'll put that one up. Amen. If not, I'll read it. It says, "Wise people," I love this scripture. Now this scripture make me shout. "Run around the building." They'd be like, "What kind of church is that? The pastor just took off, started running around the building." It says, "Wise people are builders. They build families, businesses, communities, and through intelligence and insight." This is not natural intelligence. It's like sometimes you need a revelation from God. "Through intelligence and insight, their enterprises are established and endure." Not a one-hit wonder, but what they establish is from generation to generation. "And because of their skilled leadership, the hearts of the people are filled with the treasures of wisdom and the pleasures of spiritual wealth." Man, I love that scripture. My God. Amen. So you ought to decree that, you ought to declare that, "I'm a wise master builder. I'm a builder of families, businesses, communities, and through intelligence and insight, enterprises are established and endure because of my skilled leadership. The hearts of people are filled with treasures of wisdom and pleasures of spiritual wealth." Amen. Let's put up our decree, and we're going to go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. We're going to read our decree together. Amen. Let's read it together. "Father, I thank you for the word. As I receive, meditate, and obey your word, I become the word. Then I can do what the word says I can do. I can have what the word says I can have. and the power of your word impacts my family for 1,000 generations. We had a wonderful time with Regina on Wednesday. She's from Zimbabwe, and we formed a connection, my wife and I, with her and her husband a while ago. They do missions, and they really deal with the trauma in young people in Zimbabwe and other nations. And just thinking about that decree, she talked about how trauma forms in our DNA and how it's actually passed down from generation, amen, from our DNA. Amen. So if trauma, amen, there's a book that, very popular book, your body remembers the blows, or, amen, along those lines. And if the what? Oh, your body keeps score. Amen. Remembers the blows. That's deep, isn't it? The body keeps the score. I'm like, maybe I ought to write that. Amen. But if trauma can be passed from generation to generation, blessing can be passed from generation to generation. Amen. All right. Let's read our Matthew 16. We're in this. I love this TPT translation. I'm just really just more and more. Verses 13 through the 19th verse. We're going to read this. Very familiar scripture. It said, when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question: what are people saying about me, the Son of Man? Who do they believe I am? They answered, some are convinced you are John the Baptizer. Others say you are Elijah reincarnated, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And Jesus said to them, who do you say that I am? Jesus asked. Simon Peter spoke up and said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simeon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter, which means a stone, and this rock will be the bedrock foundation on which I build my church. Look what it says, my legislative assembly. This would be the bedrock foundation of which I built my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. Last week, we talked about the difference between a decree and a declaration. The word of God is the heavenly decree. God has already sent his word, and he has decreed some things. He has decreed that I'm the head and not the tail. It's already decreed. It's already established in heaven. My job is not to pray, Lord, make me the head and not the tail, but to declare, which declare is to announce what has already been decreed. We use the examples of how a president can decree a holiday. Juneteenth was one. He can decree a holiday and all federal buildings and things fall in line with that presidential decree. And we declare I got a day off because it's already been decreed. It's been established. So if we want to grow in the area of our prayer, and today we're going to talk about binding and loosing, and we're going to grow in the power of our ask, we need to define what we need to ask for and what we need to declare. Because God is a legal God. God is a legal God. The enemy is a lawbreaker. The devil's a lawbreaker. God is just. And he's a legal God. And if we are going to tap into levels of prayer and new levels of prayer, like before service started, another level of prayer, we've got to kind of come into this legal terminology and legal viewpoint of what it really means to go before the courts of heaven. and stop putting ourselves back in the line of what God has already decreed and going back in the line of ask and starting that process. We need to declare what has already been decreed, and we'll unpack that some more today. I was thinking about this series we've been on, and this growth series, and we've been talking about the power of the ask, and I wanted to just so we can get a picture of it, just these different levels of ask, and levels is not really necessarily a good word because it's not levels with God. Because from the simplest thing to the most complex thing, it's not a degree of difficulty with God. All things are possible to those who believe, and with God, all things, all levels, all complexities are possible. But just for this sake, maybe the levels pertains to our involvement as we ask. Because one of the goals of this message was to really kind of put some maturity in asking God, to put some forethought, because the saying is, be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. Because when you ask for it, then you got to govern it. You weren't happy till you got that car. And your budget said a simple car, compact. But you like the Mercedes. You asked for it, and you found a way to get it. You didn't know the oil change was going to cost you $800. You didn't know anybody just couldn't fix a Mercedes, that they had to pick it up, bring it into the shop. And just to look at it might be $1,000. Be careful what you ask for. There ought to be some maturity and some forethought to what you ask for. So I wanted to just talk about these levels here, and then we'll go back to our text. And the way I coined it, and I may change it, but we have a timed request. There's a such thing as a timed request. In other words, I need God not to move tomorrow. I need to ask him to move today. We see this in the scripture that in the 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, Elisha's with the school of the prophets. They have this school and they're meeting in this building. The building's too small. So one of the servants comes and says, Elisha, we need to build a bigger building. Elisha said, good idea. Go build a larger building. He said, well, come on, master, come with us. Amen. As we construct this building. And so they're building this building, and this man is cutting down wood with his axe. And all of a sudden, the axe comes off the handle, and it falls into the water. Elijah sees it. The guy is all frustrated. He says, master, it was borrowed. I just borrowed that from Tom down the street. My God, and I done lost his axe in the water. Elijah steps up, takes the handle, throws it in the water, and the Bible said the axe head did swim. That was a timed request. Something just happened, and I need a response from God right now. We see this again with Peter and Jesus. They're going through, and basically they need to pay a visa tax. You know, I went to Cuba earlier this year. And you can't get into Cuba as a guest. You have to go for certain reasons, and you pay a visa. You have to pay a visa fee, $75 if you pay it in advance, $100 at the airport. Amen. You have to pay that again. And so Jesus and Peter, they were going, amen, and traveling, and they needed to pay a Roman tax. Peter said to Jesus, said, Jesus, what are we going to do about these taxes? Jesus taught him a lesson, and he said, you know what? You need that tax money now. He said, go cast a hook in the water, pull a fish up, look at his mouth, there'll be enough taxes for us. That's a time response. That's a time to ask. I need it now. Yes.
Now, some things we ask, we feel like we need it. Not, we don't necessarily need it now. But there are some things that are legitimate that you need in a certain time frame. How many have asked God for something within a certain time frame? The last one is, of course, Peter walking on the water. The Bible says he began to sink. You can't come tomorrow if I'm sinking right now. I need you, Lord, to help me. Right now. Right now. Don't be afraid to ask God. Say, Lord, I need it now. Lord, I ask for peace right now. I ask for wisdom right now. Lord, I ask for strength right now. Amen. The Bible says he is a very present help in the time. So that's one area. Another one is a heart's desire, a need, an expressed desire. Now, this is a little more complex in that when God blesses you with tax money or bless you with this, that's a simple transaction. I got the money. I paid my taxes. I was sinking, but now I can walk. But this is a little bit more complex because it deals, amen, with contemplation. It deals with deliberation. Well, here's an example. David and his men are out, amen, away from their family, and here comes the Amalekites. The Amalekites pillage their village, and I'm just giving you the abridged version. They pillage the village. They take the women. They take the goods. Amen. David goes back, amen, and he sees, and his men see, amen, that all is gone. The enemy attacked them, took them prisoners, took the things. And David, at that time, has to ask God, how do I deal with this situation? That's a hard thing to pause because David's a fighter. I mean, he's got his Glock. I mean, he's got his weapon. He's got his AK. He know how to use it. He know what to do with it. Surely. I'm about to go get these people. You know how y'all act sometimes. Y'all don't wait on the Lord. You don't wait on the Lord. Just, I'm about to settle this right now. You know how to tell them off. You know how to curse them out. Skill curses. A to Z. I can take Z to A. I know how to get them off me. But David didn't do that. His men are crying. They're upset. They're ready to stone him. David has lost Abigail, his women, more than one wife at that time. He's like, my God. And David tells the priest, bring me the vest because it's time to inquire of God. So before you act in the flesh, even though you're tempted to, this ask is for a man, a desired need, a heartfelt something that will pull you in emotionally if you want it, but you've got to call for the vest. You've got to enter that time and say, Father, what should I do with this situation that's presented itself? David put on that vest and said, Lord, shall I pursue them? God said, you go pursue them, overtake them, and recover all. So he got the green light. But the thing about submitting it to God is that when you submit it to God, you do it God's way. And you'll follow his direction. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. When you do it his way, he'll make the crooked places straight and the rough places smooth. Get the okay from God. get the direction from God. So when David struck out at God's command on his way to pursue the enemy, not quite knowing where direction they went in, he comes across an Egyptian that the people had left behind. David said, "Are you with them Amalekites?" He said, "I'm with the Amalekites. They left me behind." David said, "Do you know where they at?" He said, "I know where they at." Because when God tells you to do something, he will set and connect you and give you the wisdom, amen, to carry out what he's given you to do. And David was able to go out and he was able to recover all. His men were able to recover all. That's kind of a hard request. Amen. My wife and I experienced that, and I won't go into, I won't tell this testimony. I mean, you've heard, been around about our house. We're living in subsidized housing. And my wife has a heart desire for a house we can't afford. Amen. On an acre of land. Walking in, and those people, God touched up with it. Was our heart desire. It took connection. It was a. God will answer and give you the desire of your heart. Amen. And he'll just cause you to be in the right place at the right time. And that Indian couple, that doctor, and all that, they pursued us, called us, texted us. We like, what's wrong with these people? We can't afford the house. 7 times more than what I was paying in the subsidized housing. They called us. I said, "Sir, we like the house, but it's 3,500 square feet. I got a little townhouse over here. It's got 4 bedrooms, 4 baths. I said, "We got 1.5 of the townhouse over here. I'm working out the basement next to the washer and dryer." He said, "We want you to have the house. We're going to work it out." Got us up in there and said, "What can you put down and what can you pay a month?" We told him. Even that was a stretch. But simultaneously, God was blessing the business. So your heart and your desire, amen, you do not limit it to your personal capacity. Because when you're submitting it and giving it to God, you're giving God permission to bless it and cause favor to come on it. God bless the business simultaneously, and I'll tell it in detail one other time. But, amen, we were able to take that. He gave us that house on land contract. We were able to roll it into conventional mortgage. Been there for over 25 years. Amen. It's worth over double what we paid for it. Amen. It's a hard desire. So give those to God. Amen. Amen. So submit those things to God. And so now, here we are with binding and loosing. The power to bind. The power to loose. We heard this scripture. We've heard it so many times. Amen. I think, a lot of times we haven't heard it correctly. We haven't heard it in full detail. We run around binding and loosing. Amen. Just shooting out there. Just binding. Just loosing. This is not, amen, we don't bind flesh, and we don't bind our wives, we don't bind our husbands. There's something very supernatural here in Matthew 16, and I want to introduce that today. I want to go back through the verses here. Verse 15, where Jesus says, "But you, who do you say that I am?" Jesus asked. When Simon Peter said, "You are the anointed one. You are the anointed one. I see it clearly. You are the anointed one." Jesus said, "You are favored and privileged, son of Jonah, for you did not discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you." Look what happens. Look what follows. "I will give you the name Peter. I make you a stone." Why will I make you a stone? "Because you have the ability to hear from my Father, amen, and see who I am." When people come into the church, they're looking for stones, not confusion. They're looking for people who have a revelation of Jesus. and see Jesus and demonstrate Jesus. He said, because you can see me and see that I'm an anointed one, I am going, amen. That is the bedrock foundation on which I'm going to build my church, my legislative body. And I give you, Peter, the keys to bind and loose. Amen. Now I have here, I got some keys here, just as a demo. I asked Minister Curry, can you catch it? Lions are catching this year. You can catch this right here. All right. Those are the keys to a 2022, my 2022 Harley Davidson, amen, Street Glide special. But I asked Minister Curry, could he drive a motorcycle? He said he can drive a motorcycle. Now, there's two roads here. Either he can't get these keys because they're not going to benefit him unless he has the ability to uncover how to operate the bike. They don't do him any good if he doesn't learn how to drive it. He's not blessed like Jesus pronounced on Peter, blessed are you, Peter, which means happy. Happy are you because you can function with revelation and you can learn and see me for who I am. Amen. Unless, amen, Mr. Curry can do that, he's really not happy, not blessed. He's looking at a bike he can't operate. Stay with me here. Stay with me. So the first thing we need to do is we need the ability and the ability and the desire to see Jesus, to be a revelation of Jesus and who he is. Let me take my time. To see Jesus. To see Jesus as some of the examples we just shared. To see Jesus as a deliverer, to see Jesus as a way maker, to see Jesus, amen, as a miracle, to really see him, to not just talk about it, but to be revealed, to have revelation of who he is. You know, I like the Matrix, and sometimes I refer to the Matrix, and in the Matrix, amen, if he had the keys of a motorcycle, they download that tape so that he could fully operate a motorcycle. That's what we have as believers, we have. We have what Jesus called, stay with me, the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth, the truth there means aletheia, which means God's ultimate reality. Jesus says, I'm going to the Father. When I go to the Father, I'm not going to leave you without anybody, without any comfort. I'm going to send you the spirit of truth. And the spirit of truth, I'm going to send you the aletheia, God's ultimate reality. So you're going to see things as God sees them. And you'll have the ability to tap in, amen, and revelation or the uncovering or the unlocking or the revealing will take place. Those are the keys. And then you can bind and loose. How does that benefit? How does that benefit? How does that benefit? I'm going to give you three areas to look at. Three areas to look at to hopefully explain this, and we'll go into more detail over these next maybe 2 or 3 weeks. When you discern God's truth, you can also discern the devil's lie. When you see Jesus involved, Jesus revealing yourself, even your purpose, your destiny, your family, you see beyond the flesh and the limitations of our emotions and our rational mind. You see what God intended you to be. So the first area we need to look at is our spirit. What does our spirit mean? What did God make me to be here for? Why am I here? What's my purpose? What's my destiny? What's the destiny of my family? What is God's truth about my family? What is God's truth about me? What is God's ultimate truth? What is the purpose? Because, amen, like Miles Monroe would say, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. When you don't know a purpose of a thing, amen, you abuse it. You see that with credit cards. People don't know the purpose of a credit card, so they abuse a credit card and get in all kind of debt because they didn't have a revelation of the credit card. So the first area you look is God. The first place you go is God to get clarity, to get aletheia, to get God's reality. You see it in Jeremiah. Amen. When God says, listen, Jeremiah, amen, in your mother's womb I called you. In your mother's womb I formed you. And I shaped you and I gave you purpose. He had a revelation of who he is. There's too many people in the church don't even know who they are. So you have nothing to judge it from. You have nothing to measure from. So you need to get God's purpose for your life, for your family. And you need to see it clearly. Because that's the keys. Amen. And that's the place you operate. That's your God-ordained place. Yeah, getting a little heavier in here. That's your God-ordained place. The spirit, your spirit. Amen. The spirit of my family, the name of my family, how we communicate, how we interact, our traditions. Amen. All that is part of what God has said about my family, my vision for the family. Amen. We have family month every June. Amen. Some families already have a family crest. Here's our family crest. Amen. This is how we operate and communicate. And amen. This is our core values. They come from God. I don't do it in the flesh because surely I'll feel my family today, but I may not feel them tomorrow. So I get that truth from God. The second is the soul. We look at God's intended purpose, but then we look at the soul, my soul, the soul of my family or myself, my soul. Amen. What do I think about myself? Is what I think about myself different from what God has said about me? Because as a man or woman think in his heart, and as you uncover your soul, it manifests in your body. Just hang in, hang in. So you've got to say, okay, I got this revelation of who I am, who I'm supposed to be in God. Is there a contradiction in my soul, in my emotional mind or my logical mind? Do I see myself different? Here's an example. Amen. That God gave the children of Israel the promised land. Amen. They sent those 12 spies to go over there and check out the land to see if it was everything God said. They get over there. They got the decree of God. All they got to do is declare what he decreed and operate on what he already decreed. But they get over there, they see themselves, they come back to Moses and say, man, we're like grasshoppers. There's a contradiction between what God has said about me and how I see myself. And it manifests in their body. Because they got so upset, amen, how they saw themselves, amen, altered their posture. When Regina was here Wednesday, she talked about the trauma she experienced by her mom and dad being hooked on cocaine and how they put them in the foster system and the grandmother went and got them. But that trauma was in them. And the grandmother, the grandparents went and got them and tried to show them love. And years later, amen, it took for her to come back around and say, you know what? I thank you, grandmother, for showing me love. I couldn't receive it because what was there in my soul? What is the truth of God, but what are you actually experiencing in your soul? That gives you the grounds. You get that revelation. That gives you the grounds to begin to move in binding and loosing. Oh, hallelujah. The health of your emotional mind. The health of your logical mind. your core values. I like what David said in Psalms 84 and 1. He says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. And he said, my soul yearns, even faints. My soul agrees with your house. My soul is in sync with your house. We have to do the work in our soul. What is the soul? If you have toxicity in your family, your soul is not aligned with the spirit of your family. God's call on your family. Sometimes you need forgiveness. Sometimes you need conversations. When we take it upon our flesh, how are we doing? You doing all right? Y'all quiet. I don't know if I'm in. Amen. When we take it upon our flesh, we end up like Paul in Romans 7. I won't read chapter 7. I'll give you a paraphrase. Paul says, I want to do good in my soul. I try to set my will to do good, but I'm struggling. Every day, I say I'm going to stay off that Instagram and off them thirst traps. But I keep sliding in them thirst traps and sliding in them DMs. The next day comes, I'm saying I'm not going to click on this clickbait. So I got to set my will. And every day, I find myself back on that OnlyFans page where I shouldn't be, because I've been fighting this battle in my soul, and my soul doesn't have the strength to overcome my flesh. Well, then poor Paul says in chapter 8, he says, but the law of the spirit, see, the soul has a law, but the spirit also has a law. And the law of the spirit overrides the law of my flesh. So what I had to do, Paul says, is I had to tap into the law of my spirit to overcome the law of my flesh. In other words, I had to desire the truth of God above what I felt in my emotions. I had to see where the contradiction was between what I know and feel in my heart how things should be and how I'm actually functioning. I have to see the gap. I have to see it. Amen. I don't compromise what God has said about me. So if what everything God said is true, and legal, and his decrees are forever lasting, and his truth endures to all generations, then I got to bring that spiritual truth into my soul. How do I do that? I get into his decrees, what he has said about me. Now, we're going to take this further as we go. We're going to take this to communities and cities, because every city has a spirit. Every city has a purpose. Every community has a purpose. It has a spirit. And we've got to move beyond, amen, the prayer about give me God, give me this, and give me that, amen, to tap into what God has said about our community. And this is free too. If you find yourself not passionate about what God has said about you, your family, your truth, the way to regain that passion, to rekindle that passion, is to pray. Is to pray. Prayer will rekindle the passion. Amen. There's been times that Gail and I, we've been married almost 4 decades. I know we don't look it. I know. Have mercy. And we weren't feeling each other. I've always felt her. She wasn't feeling me. So you know what? What do we have to do? We had to go back pray with one another, let's go back to the spirit of what God has said. Refresh our minds. Renew our minds. Bring our emotions under subjection. Because what God has said overrides what I feel. Let's pray. Now, I'm not saying, you know, therapy is good. Listen, therapy is good. Counseling, in your prayer, in your pursuit of that, God may say, go talk to somebody. And you need to go talk to somebody. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, one of the things he says, the model he gives, the pattern he gives, he says, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, let there be a match between the heavenly view and the heavenly decrees over my life and my actual life here on earth. Your truth, your aletheia be released here. So, Father, my relationships, let them look on earth like they look in heaven. My finances, Father, let my finances look on earth like they look in heaven. Let me bring order to them. When you see the truth of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, here's what takes place. Then you can begin to govern or have authority over the things that are out of alignment. Then you begin to govern. Then you begin to bring order. And God gives you revelation. Because that's the bedrock. That's the foundation. God will give you revelation to how Jesus looks in your marriage, how Jesus looks in your relationship, how Jesus looks in your business. How Jesus looks. What's the blueprint, Father? What's the blueprint of where I am? What's the blueprint? How do I get out of this? What's the blueprint? Then we get his decrees. We begin to meditate his decrees. Amen. Say, okay, let me, as an example, let me just do finances. My finances don't look like they should look. I know they're not in line, Father. I need to save. I need to have investments for generations to come. I'm going to get the word of God. I'm going to get the decrees of God. What God has said about finances. I'm going to meditate on the decrees. Why? Because the word is living, it's powerful. And as I meditate that word, I become the word. As you meditate that decree, you become the decree. Then you can do what the word says you can do. You can have what the word says you can have because that word has energized and empowered your faith. Now you don't just see with your natural mind. You don't see with your emotional mind. But you see with the mind of God. Because you have renewed your mind. And you have taken on the mind of Christ. So now, you've also educated yourself on what is of God and what is of the enemy. And you say, you know what? I bind, because it's bound in heaven, I bind every spirit of poverty on the earth. That's the key. I bind every enemy that steals and generational spirit that would steal my wealth. It's unlawful. I'm the legislative body. I'm part of God's legislation in the earth. So I bind it. Then you know what to loose. I loose innovation. I loose ingenuity. God, give me revelation of investments. Begin to loose it. What are you doing? You're bringing the government of God into your finances. And that same thing applies to everything else. Bringing Jesus in. How does Jesus look? And that's a prayer that we can pray. Amen. And I'm about to wrap up, but that's a prayer that we can pray. Jesus, how should this look? Jesus, come into my life. Come into my relationships. Come into my children. God, how should I look? My father was absent when I was growing up. Amen. I didn't know how to be a dad. Jesus, show me how to be a dad. I don't want to be a dad like my dad. Amen. And I'm just trying to cast dispersion on him. Amen. Amen. But I don't want to be, amen, make the mistakes, amen, that I saw. So I need to see. I need revelation how to operate this thing. Show me your truth and what it really means to be a man. You show it to me, Father. Then I'll bring it to my soul. I'll bring it to my emotional mind, my logical mind, and then it'll manifest in my body. Amen. You trying to be a mother to your children? Amen. Jesus, show me what motherhood looks like. Give me your ultimate truth of motherhood. I'll get in your word. I'll seek revelation. Because revelation, the ability to see beyond the veil, see beyond the surface, is the bedrock, Father. It's the rock. Then I'll bring that word and those decrees and that binding loose into my family. And I'll cause my mind and my emotions to line up with that. And you know what? It'll manifest in the body. Amen. It'll manifest what? Healing and breakthrough and love. And compassion. We're not going to do it in our own strength. We're not going to do it in our own strength. We're going to do it by revelation. By revelation. The Bible says that the hairs on your head are numbered. So if God has numbered the hairs on your head, you know, those of you got the hair, amen. I think that applies to follicles. Amen. Guys, don't be a hater. Don't be a hater. If he has that much detail, and what it speaks of is detail, if he has that much detail about your hair, how much revelation does he have about your life? Oh, Jesus. Let's stand. We're going to pray. Don't y'all get stuck on that. I done preached a whole message. Lord, help us. Mercy. Come on, let's just worship for a moment in the name of Jesus. And we're going to unpack this more next week. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Come on and worship. Come on and worship. Come on and worship. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. You're the lawmaker. You're the governor of your house. You have the keys to bind and loose. You have the power to ask. Heaven on earth. Peace to confusion. Strength to weakness. Joy to sadness. You have the power to change situations and circumstances. You have the power by the Holy Spirit. I want you to grab someone by the hand. Just grab someone by the hand in the name of Jesus.
And I just want you to touch and agree with them. Let's just do bind first in the name of Jesus. Father, everything they need bound, I touch and agree with them in the name of Jesus. Every circumstance they need bound, I agree, Father, is bound. I join my faith with them is bound. Confusion, in the name of Jesus. Broken communication, in the name of Jesus. Every attempt of the enemy is bound, is bound, is bound. Come on, pray, people of God. Is bound in the name of Jesus. Anxiety, fear, wrong perception of how they see themselves. Every lie of the enemy is bound, is bound. In the name of Jesus, is bound in heaven, we bind it on the earth. We win the battle in the spirit, it manifests in the earth. So we bind it in the heavens, it manifests in the earth, in our homes, in our lives. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now we loose. Now we loose the blessings of God, the peace of God, prosperity, wisdom, insight, revelation. We loose it now. Harmony, unity. We loose it now. It's loosed in the heavens and it's loosed on earth. Healing. It's loosed. Oh, come on. Come on and press in. I feel the glory. I feel the glory. I feel like some things need to be loosed. Things have been held back, tied up. You've been kept from them. But the Spirit of God is loosing them now. It's loosed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's loose right now, right now, right now. In the name of Jesus. Well, come on and give Jesus a praise for it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you turn to somebody and just tell them, whatever you bind on earth, it's bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. In the name of Jesus. Now I want to pray. I want to offer. We haven't had an altar call, but I'm gonna have one today. And I'm gonna have one today. Amen. You could come, and if you have needs of, you know, healing or things of that nature, but specifically, I want to have this in the area of revelation. Sometimes we don't know, and we say, well, God, what is your truth? What is your aletheia for my life? I want to see it clearly so I can walk in it, so I can possess it. So that can be the metrics, that could be the measuring, that could be the plumb line. And so I just need that. Paul prayed this in Ephesians 1. He said, I pray, Church of Ephesus, that your heart be flooded with light. In other words, I pray that God will give you so much understanding and clarity. It's like you're walking into a dark room and somebody turns the floodlight on. That which was hidden is now revealed. That which you didn't know now, I pray, Paul says in Ephesians 1, that your heart be flooded with light so that you'll know him better and see him better.
We've been praying for the heart on our Monday morning launch prayer. And this past Monday, we prayed for the heart. God, help our heart, with our heart being in tune with your heart and our desires being in tune with your desires. Because what? The pure in heart, they see God. They see with clarity. They see with understanding. So, amen, if that's you and you say, well, Lord, I want that spirit of revelation. I want you just to come. Amen. Across the altar here in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name.
Listen, God bless you, and I pray that you were touched by today's message. Listen, we need a revelation of who Jesus is in every circumstance, everything we face. We cannot spend our life in the church and don't know who Jesus is. Amen. So I pray, and I want to pray with everyone on live stream right now. First, if you don't know Jesus, you need to know him. You need to know him as your Savior. You need to know him as your deliverer. And if you don't know Jesus, and you haven't got a revelation of Jesus. And when people say, who, and when Jesus says, whom do man say that I am? Or who do you say that I am? And you can't answer that question and you can't respond, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. That's the first step. Every revelation follows after that one. Amen. So listen, if you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I want you to take a moment and say, Father, I thank you that you sent your Son to die for my sins. I accept Jesus as Lord of my life. Let my heart be flooded with light and understanding of who Jesus is. Do that. Amen. It will change your life forever. If you already know Jesus and you're just saying, well, God, give me, I want to have the keys and I want to know how to operate in the keys and I want to bind and I want to loose and I want to operate as your legislative church in the earth, give me and show me revelation. I'm praying right now. We're going to pray that spirit of revelation is released over your life, your family, so that you can assess the spirit, the soul, and the body of your life, your family, your region, your territory. Father, I pray for everyone that views this live, that is watching, Father. I pray, Lord, that the spirit of revelation would just be released, that their heart, their understanding would be flooded with light. Father, that a new level of insight, a new level of discernment would be released upon them, Father, that they would see Jesus like they've never seen him before. The answer, the problem solver, the one who comes in the midst of the storm, the healer, the deliverer. I pray that Jesus is made clear to everyone that would touch and agree with this prayer. Father, I release healing. I release Jesus, the deliverer. I release Jesus, Father, and decree Jesus, declare Jesus the way maker in the name of Jesus. Father, we receive this and we'll walk in this and we'll find and discover your word and we'll meditate your word and we'll be changed into your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, you have an opportunity now to give and be a blessing to the house. Amen. Do so. Amen. So, Jen to Jen is good ground. Join me tomorrow in our Monday launch prayer. Join us Wednesday. Join us Friday. We have John and Gail this Tuesday. It's going to be a blessing on Facebook Live. Amen. And John and Gail on Facebook at 7 p.m. this Tuesday. I pray that you have a tremendous Thanksgiving with your family. Amen. That you have great times of fellowship. Amen. God bless you. And we look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Please come and join us in person. Amen. God bless you. Have a tremendous week in Jesus' name.